and welcome to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. My name is Anise Bell, and I'm here with Shanae Forbes and Bethany McCarty. If you've been keeping up with the show, last month's topic was Orange and Creative Economy. We dove deep into the various aspects, like how to get into it, how to monetize it. Our guests shared their experience and expertise in their specified areas. We spoke with Catherine, a marketing specialist, Odette, a blogger and photographer. We spoke with Daria, a makeup TikToker, Shad Fur, a music artist, entertainer, and YouTuber, and we even spoke with Taran Bryce, a poet. Today, we'll be starting our four-part series on health and wellness, because as Bahamians, we encounter a lot of issues like hypertension, hypotension, heart disease, diabetes, and even obesity. And a lot of the times, it's because of our diets and the lack of information shared about alternative diets. So we decided that we'd start with perhaps the most controversial diet of them all, which is veganism. Most of us know that vegetarians avoid eating meat, and they eat byproducts of meats and eggs and sometimes fish, but veganism is the practice of abstaining and avoiding all use of animal products. There's different variations of it. Some vegans only avoid the consumption of byproducts and meats, whereas other vegans would avoid like leather, honey, etc. So today's guest is Marlene McKinney. She's a vegan. She owns a deli and restaurant called Something Better, a vegetarian deli. She is also gearing up to start to release a weight loss program at the end of the month. Do you mind introducing yourself and telling us about how you got into the vegan vegetarian lifestyle?
Not at all. I am Marlene, and let me say thank you very much to Anise and her crew for having invited me to be a part of this program and having the opportunity to share with the Bahamian people about being a vegetarian or being vegan and its beautiful benefits. And so how did I get into this is your first question?
Yes.
Well, initially, you know, to be very honest, I was born into a home where my father was vegetarian and my mother was a meat eater. My dad was a master chef and he would prepare meals for us as children, but he always had two options on the stove. There was always going to be the pea soup and dumpling without the meat and the pea soup and dumpling with the salt beef. And so growing up, I realized very early that I liked his option more than I liked my mother's option. And so I really enjoyed the vegetarian lifestyle from when I was a child growing up. I never saw my father eat meat. He never ate meat. And so that was my introduction. And then, of course, as I grew older and I went to college, I continued with it. And then, of course, after I got married and had children, I wanted them to also, you know, enjoy this lifestyle. But then I put on a lot of weight after my children, and I became 220 pounds, borderline diabetic, hypertensive, all of the above. And wow. I realized I wanted to do something different with my life. And I prayed and I said, okay, what am I going to do? And then I was introduced to a program that I now teach called New Start. Mm-hmm. And that's proper nutrition, exercise, water, sunlight, fresh air, temperance, and trust in God. So I may have missed out one. I hope I didn't. But I was introduced to it by an aunt who was then diagnosed with cancer. And she was like, Marlene, I have a program that I think you're really going to love. And you're going to lose the weight really easy. And I'm like, really? It's so hard to lose weight. What are you talking about? You know, so she said, no, I'm telling you, this program really works. And so she had just come back from this place called Uchi Pines. And I was like, who? Uchi Pines? So she's like, Uchi Pines. And she said, and I can tell you, Marlene, you can do this. And so I sat down at her feet and I learned and I sat and I was very intrigued. So this was now 23 years ago, almost to the date. 23 years ago in April. And I said, okay, well, maybe I'll try it. I was then visiting my sister in Florida. I came home and needless to say, I embraced it. I studied it. I ran with it. And about 5 months later, I was probably 150 pounds. And everyone was asking, what are you doing? Are you sick? And I'm like, no, I'm not sick. I've never been healthy in my life. I'm so excited about this, what I'm doing. And that was the opening. That was the beginning of something better for me and the opportunity to share, you know, with persons, how I did what I did. So I took long time to answer that question. Let me let you answer the next question.
No, it's fine. So the weight loss was because of the change from the vegetarian lifestyle to the vegan lifestyle?
Yes, because even then, I think I was still I was eating vegetarian, but it was more pescatarian. I was eating a little fish and having a little, maybe a little dairy product, not excessively amount. But then I changed my diet. I became fully vet. I call it plant-based or veganism, vegan. Totally. I gave up all the animal products. So then I had to incorporate or find ways to make my favorite foods because I loved macaroni and cheese. And I know many of us as Bahamians, we love macaroni and cheese. And I loved steak and I loved fish. And there were so many things I loved. And I was like, wow, what am I gonna do? And I just started really studying it, reading, watching programs. And in those days, there was no YouTube like that, okay? I don't recall being YouTube like it is now. There may have been, yes, but not to the extent that it is now. I don't recall it there being. So I started watching whatever programs I could gather, wherever I can find programs. 3ABN became my favorite station because all of their health programs, there was cooking. And I was like, wow. So I started exploring. I started experimenting on my children. They became my number guinea pigs. And they would be happy to try these different things. And mommy, what do you have for us to try today? And I just started really practicing the vegetarian or plant-based vegan diet. And I love it. I loved it. And I still love it. I love it. I
Well,
wish
I've
that
eaten at
every
Jadeli a few times. The food was amazing. Even the fish, you can't even tell the difference. It tastes like real fish somehow.
it does. It does, you know. Because people think that being vegetarian is simply eating carrot sticks and celery sticks. And when they walk into my little deli, something better, they're like, oh, that looks pretty. That's rice. Oh, macaroni. How do you do that? There's no cheese. And I'm like, no, we make our cheese. We make our cheese from cashews or almonds and nutritional yeast flakes. And they're like, what? And then they taste it and they're like, but this tastes like macaroni and cheese because I really loved macaroni and cheese. You know, we would come together for lunch on a Saturday or Sunday, and I was the person who made the macaroni and cheese. So I had to come up with something that was really close to what I was used to making for my family. So I just practiced and practiced and practiced. And then I got to a place where I said, gee, I think this tastes a lot like what I'm used to. And so when persons come to my little nook, I call it, you know, they say, wow, this is really good. This is close to what I'm used to. I can do this. I can do this, you know. I had a pastor who would come. He came for almost a year. I haven't seen him for about a few weeks, but I will, you know, find him. But he came for quite a while. And he said, I decided I wanted to be vegetarian. He said, and I can't believe the world of vegetarianism. This is, he couldn't believe it, honestly. And he had given up everything. And he would eat with us. He'd take two meals home, one at lunch and one for supper. And he would buy the weekend sometimes. Yeah, because, you know, a lot of the men, they can't cook. And then their wives may not be vegetarians. And I admonished them at least knowledgeable about the subject, so that they can prepare meals for their husbands and their whoever significant other. I think it's very important, you know, as wives, as mothers, we have an awesome responsibility to our children and to our husbands, our whomever is in our lives. You know why? Because at the end of the day, we are mostly responsible whether they're sick or not, whether they're healthy or not. So we really need to pay special attention to that, you know? Yeah. What else should I say? You go on. Next question.
Okay, so earlier you mentioned plant-based. So what's the difference between being a vegan, vegetarianism, and just eating a plant-based diet?
Okay, so there are different types of vegetarians. We have lacto-ovo vegetarians, and those are the ones that eat eggs and dairy products, right? And then you have the ovo vegetarians who may eat just eggs. Then we have the total plant-based vegans who eat no animal products at all. Okay. So I am at that place where I'm not at the place where I won't wear certain things. That's another level, but I do not eat any animal products. I often say nothing that had a mother or had a face is on my plate. That's an easy way to remember. So a lot of Bahamians are, they come into the store and say, well, I'm vegetarian, but I eat fish. So that's pescatarian, you know, you're still eating some, it's still flesh. It's not animal, like the chicken or the whoever, but it's still flesh. So I still categorize it as meat, you know? So that those are the different categories. I may have missed, no, I think I got them all. So you have the lacto-ovo, the ovo, and the vegetarian, all right, or the total plant-based vegetarian. And I am, like I said before, in the plant-based line where I don't eat any of the animal products at all.
Okay, so you mentioned that from a young child, you were introduced to vegetarianism. So as you got older, did you like maybe switch to pescatarian or eat some animal byproducts before you came to fully just plant-based? Or were you always strictly plant-based?
No, of course I strayed. Like any of, like all young people, we stray, you know? So I strayed after going to college in my second year. The food wasn't so hot, so I decided, well, I'll just start eating a little chicken. And now I'll start eating a little more of this or whatever. So yes, I did stray. And it took me some years to get back. I was always very health conscious, but I was not fully vegetarian. So there were certain meats that I probably wouldn't have as much of, but I was definitely not plant-based. It was when I was 33 that I became plant-based totally. I decided I will never look back at meat and meat products. So yes, I strayed. I'm, you know, like everybody else, I probably enjoyed it. I thought I was. And I had all the health issues that were attached to my bad eating habits. Like I said before, when I decided to make the changes, I was then 220 pounds. I was borderline diabetic. I had high blood pressure. And my doctor was like, everything's out of whack here. And he said, he sat me down. He says, Marlene, you know what to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I already know that you know what to do because you've done it before. But I had never gone to the extent that I am now, where I would probably always just hold on to a little something in the animal kingdom, like maybe the cheese and do some pizzas or whatever. But then I really got very serious about my health. And, you know, initially, I'd be honest, it was because I wanted to look good. You know, we all want to look good in our clothes and we want to look cute. And when we dress, we want to fit everything right. But then I realized that I had a calling on my life and I wanted to teach everybody how to do what I was doing. And then I eventually started teaching vegetarian cooking classes from my home. And I did that for maybe 7 years. I opened up a vegetarian cooking school, you know, because I had such a desire to see persons' lives being transformed. And many, many of the persons that came through my cooking school then, that was many years ago, they really saw transformation and they were very appreciative of that. And so, you know, initially, like I said, it was just I wanted to look good. You want to look cute in your clothes, that kind of thing. But, you know, I realized then that God had a bigger calling on my life and I accepted the challenge. And it's a big challenge, but I accepted it. And I am trying to do the best I can to continue living this lifestyle and teaching as many persons as would like to know how to do what I'm doing.
Okay, Miss Prodigal Daughter, your college journey really reminds me of that story in the Bible. But you talk about this plant-based life that you took on in the latter part of your life. Would you say there's a difference between store-bought plants and homegrown plants? Because I know a friend of mine, his mom, she is big in veganism. And right now she is solely only eating plants that she grows because she says that, you know, she senses there is a difference between store-bought plants and homegrown plants. So what's your opinion on that?
I am not there where I'm growing my own food. I wish I were. As a matter of fact, I have such a desire to learn how to grow my own foods. My mother was an ace farmer, you know, and I'm so regretting that I didn't spend more time learning. But I applaud that young lady who is now eating the foods that she grew, at least eating homegrown foods, whether she's growing it or not, or she's buying it locally at farmers markets. I think that we should. I really believe that. I do believe that because of the foods that are being brought into the country, you know, a lot of it is genetically modified. And of course, because it's genetically modified, there are many people who are suffering in their health as a result of the fact that these foods are genetically modified. So we have persons who come into my kitchen who may say, well, I'm allergic to corn, I'm allergic to soy, I'm allergic, you know, so because unfortunately, a lot of these foods can actually, you know, the genetically modified ones, they can actually lead to a lot of health issues. So I applaud her. And I think that we should all go that way. We should all try to have a backyard farm or garden. We should all, because like I said before, it can cause allergic reactions. It can alter our DNA. They can, you know, these foods have an increased amount of antibiotics and it causes us to have antibiotic resistance. So pesticides, you know, all these things can really affect us. I really believe that they can affect us in an adverse way. Not as, you know, there's another question that can go with that. Many times or often persons would say, well, Marlene, I feel like eating the plants is just as bad. You know, the plants that I have, you know, these genetically modified foods, is just as bad as eating meat. But studies have shown that only 2% of persons may get cancer, or it's a 2% chance of getting cancer. My chances of getting cancer from genetically modified plants is just 2% versus me getting cancer from eating meats. Okay. So yeah, I applaud her. And I think that we should all head that way. We should, we really should.
So you spoke about your mother being a farmer and your father being a vegetarian. And I know that your background is in Adventism, and Adventists always prefer a vegetarian lifestyle. So what was the reason that he decided to be a vegetarian? Was it because of Adventism? And do you think that was a big influence on your lifestyle change to eat vegan as a vegan?
That's a nice question. No, my dad actually was not an Adventist for many years. I don't remember how old he was when he became an Adventist, a Seventh-day Adventist. His decision to become a vegetarian came because as a child growing up in Andros, he grew up in Andros, and he he had two stories to tell. One, he said he went home one day from school, and when he got there, they had his pet goat as dinner. And he said there was just no way he was going to sit there and eat his pet. He asked his uncle, because he was living with an uncle and aunt and a grandmother. And he said, where's the pet goat? You know, they're like, well, I'm sorry, but we had to eat him today, you know. And he was like, no, it's just okay. And then he grew up in Andros where, you know, they would catch crabs. And he said he saw so much maggots and worms and what have you in those crabs, he couldn't bring himself to eat it, and he just made a decision that he wanted to be a vegetarian. I don't even know if my father knew back then what an impact his decision would have made on even our lives, you know, because right now today all of us are vegetarians, all of his children and most of our children, for the most part. But my children have strayed, but you know, we are all yeah, unfortunately they have strayed. But my siblings, we're all vegetarians. I really believe it had a great, his life had an influence on that, on us, you know. So yeah. And then you asked about the Adventists and how that may have had an impact on my decision.
Yes.
You know, as an Adventist, we do embrace the healthier lifestyle, the vegetarian lifestyle. There are many of us, however, that aren't on the vegetarian lifestyle. I guess in some ways it may have helped me to make that decision to eat healthier, to be healthier, because, you know, we really promote health. That's really been a thrust as an Adventist, I think, from we started, because we realized that being obedient to the health laws helps us in a healthier lifestyle, help us to live longer, better quality life. So yes, it has had a great impact on my decision. I would say yes, it has had. I think my father's life has had a more of an impact. Yes, he was an Adventist, but I think his leading. And then, you know, like I said, when you have health issues, let me tell you something. I'll say this to you young people and those of us who are listening in Radio Land. I've seen so many people walk into my kitchen with health issues. Many of them we've buried because unfortunately they waited too late. So for me, I was always one who wanted to look and feel better. I'm not saying athletic, but I was very always wanted to be fit. And so exercising and eating healthier and trying to, trying to embrace a healthier lifestyle was a walk that I always wanted. From I was a child, I grew up, I tell them I was born fat, you know? So I remember even at 12, exercising, wanted to lose weight. And I'll never forget that as a young lady, I was attending government high school. I was like 18. And I went to the principal because my sister had sent me a cassette. It was a Jane Fonda cassette. And I know that's a foreign name to you young people, but to your moms and your dads or your grandparents, they would know Jane Fonda. So Jane Fonda had these cassettes. In those days, there were no videos like that, but she had started this cassette thing. And then they'd send with the cassette the different exercise moves. And so at 18, not realizing where God was leading with my life, I'd be very honest. At 18, I was like, okay, I want to lose this weight. And so I started a very vigorous exercise program. My sister sent me this cassette. And I could not even see the moves. I only could hear Jane Fonda giving the instructions, and I thought I was doing them right. When I got the actual video, I had one last thing to realize I had done most of them wrong, but I was still doing something. And I was like, it was really hilarious. And I went to the principal and I said to the principal, I said, hi, Miss Bourne. I said, Miss Major, do you think it's possible, Miss Major, I could use the gym after school? I said, because everybody wants to do the workout that I'm doing. And she said, well, sure. She said, as a matter of fact, if you could find a teacher who would stay after school with you, you could use it, so long as that teacher stays with you. Now, I'm going to tell you how my life became full circle. And I didn't even know I would share this today. The principal I went to, the headmistress I went to, her son became my student at Bahamas Academy, Miss Major, all right? Her son, Laurie Major, became my student. And then the teacher that I would ask to assist me after school, he was an Adventist. He was a Seventh-day Adventist like myself. And my parents had a little, bond with this family. So I said, Mr. Roach, I said, you know, I want to stay after school and I want you to stay after school too. Because he was always after school there doing his, he was the PE teacher. So he was always there doing something, softball, baseball, whatever. So he said, oh, I'm always in the yard. I'm here until 5 o'clock. You can do whatever you want to do. I know you're a mature student. I'm not going to even worry about you. I'll peep in whenever I have a chance to. And so here was Mr. Roach. And he said, yes. Now, Mr. Roach's son became my son-in-law. I'm telling you, this is crazy. So I remember this story many years now that I'm remembering this story. I just remembered it just a few weeks ago. And I'm just saying how the Lord was leading for me to be where I'm at today, to help persons. And I just always wanted to be healthy, always wanted to do this, to just do something for myself. But then I realized you can't keep this to yourself. You have to share it with people. You have to help others. There are many people out there who want to get on this bandwagon or want to get on this journey, but they don't know the first step. And so here I am. I just want to share with people how they can be vegetarians, how they can be healthier or just eat healthier, eat more plant-based foods at home and enjoy them, you know? Mm-hmm. So many people walk through my store, I started saying earlier, and they're so sick. So for me, it was easy. I was diabetic. I was 220 pounds. It was easy, Anise. It was easy, young people, for me to make that decision because I realized I did not want to have no further problems with my health. And so as persons come into my shop, I often tell my staff, I say, the persons that ask the most questions are the sickest. Be patient with them. Okay, I said, because sometimes people come and they ask questions because they don't want you to know exactly what's going on with them. I've had people who come and they say, well, what about this and what about that? And then I opened the newspaper and they died because they had an ailment that they didn't tell me about. Not that I can help everybody, but as far as possible, I try to guide you and help you to embrace some herbal remedies or some home natural remedies that can help you, you know? So for me, it was not hard. I wanted to do better for myself. I think we should all want to do better for ourselves. We should all want to live healthier. I don't want nobody taking care of me. I don't want to be old and feeble and somebody to take care of me and spoon feed me and change pampers in bed. I just don't want that life.
Yeah. So speaking of like the transition and talking to people, what what are some ways that you guide people into continuing the lifestyle? Because it's a bit difficult to transition. So what are some tips and pointers that you give people who are just starting off, or that you would give someone who's just starting off?
Well, you know, that's interesting you've asked that question, because I have a group right now that I'm coaching. We call the 18-hour, well, the Melt. Okay, it's a group of mostly women, and I'm coaching them along one challenge at a time, one challenge per week. I don't want to overwhelm them. When I made my changes, I did it overnight. I didn't wait, because I was that serious. But for persons who are just beginning, I would say one, you know, start with a meatless day per week. Even if it's just one meatless day per week. In the Bahamas, throughout the world, we have Meatless Monday, right? So just start there. That's one. Two, incorporate more fruits and vegetables into your diet. Try to eat more whole foods. You know, vegetables, so long as they're non-starchy, they're free foods. Try to beef up on your salads and having more of a beautiful, colorful plate. You know, the average Bahamian, most of us, our plates are filled with starch and fat, right? Our dinner on a Sunday, you know?
Yeah, rice, macaroni, potato salad, all of that is starch and carbohydrates and sugar.
And then, hold on, and then our salad is a coleslaw with lots of sugar.
Yeah.
You understand? That's our raw. So for me, I would say to my group that I'm working with now, can we at least try to have one full raw meal per day? And that would mean that meal has no cooked food and you have all the fruits and vegetables you want, okay? Even if you could do that once, I would like to say do it one meal a day, but I know that may be difficult for many. So if you could just do it several times for the week, or just try to have half of your plate, just make half your plate. If you're having breakfast, say for instance, breakfast, you know, the average person, we have grits and tuna. That's the Bahamian breakfast. You go to any breakfast stand, yeah, it's grits and tuna, but where's your raw? Where are your fruits? You know, where are your fruits? You need to have some fruits. So have your fruit, you know, and instead of the tuna, if you're having a plant-based breakfast that day, why not take some garbanzo beans, mash them up, add your little mayonnaise. I mean, I prefer veggie-naise, but add your mayonnaise and season it just like you'd have tuna. Do you know, fix it just like you're making tuna fish, and you would have a cold tuna pasta, tuna salad with your grits, and you will never know you didn't have tuna. I'm telling you, this is a fact. I've taken this tuna salad all over the world. Everywhere I go, I teach people how to make a garbanzo bean tuna. I call it a tuna salad, you know? So I just try to tell people to take it slow and just have a one day that's meatless, no meat at all. Have your beans, your nuts, your fruits, your vegetables, your grains, your whatever. Just take the meat off the plate. And you're not going to starve, because every food we have, guess what, has protein. Everything you eat has protein. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains, they all have protein. So you're not going to die because you don't have any protein. You know, the only thing we would be dying of is a lack of air and a lack of water, but definitely not protein. We eat way too much already. What else would I tell them? You know, I would say to them, try to, you know, here's a great way. Many times we don't know what to eat, but at the food store, and all of the food stores here locally carry vegan or vegetarian or plant-based, I'm going to use all those words, patties, mm-hmm. All of them. So you can go and find Boca Burgers, and you can find
Morningstar.
And guess what? You won't miss the meat. And prepare just like you prepare your meats. Just make sure you cut back on the sodium, because these things are high in sodium. They're high in sodium because they have, you know, they have a long shelf life. But you can get chicken patties. You can get a veggie fish. You can get, what's it called? Teriyaki chicken. You know, of course, these are not, it's not meat, it's plant-based. But you can purchase these items. And this is a transition. We call it transitional foods. Okay. Now, once you transition, you don't eat so much of those. You try to make your own. Okay. Like the lady who's eating her own from a garden, you want to make your own burgers. You can make your black bean burgers and your garbanzo bean burgers and your mushroom burgers. But until you can get there, you can head on to any grocery store in Nassau. And I mean, I've been to most of them. And they all carry some form of plant-based burgers or patties or or some kind of plant-based meats, okay? Then you could probably do your mushrooms, stir-fry mushrooms. Have it as a replacement for your meat. So just make these small changes and your body will love you for it. You know, your system will love you for it. And inside and out, you will shine and you'll feel better, look better. You're going to have more energy. You know, one of the biggest plus about being on a vegetarian diet is your energy level just spikes. You have more energy than you need, you know? Sometimes people say, where do you get all this energy from, Ms. McGinn? I mean, like, you keep going. I said, one day I'm going to bottle it and I'm going to sell it. Okay. Yeah. So that helps to answer your question. So start with some adding more fruits and vegetables while you're transitioning and you're learning. Go and get some of these plant products at the stores and then get onto the YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. I have more than 60 free recipes. And if you need help, guess what? You just text me at the beginning. That recipe didn't come out so right. Tell me, what did I do wrong? I'm just a WhatsApp away. I'm very easy to reach. So our WhatsApp, you know, our YouTube channel, Something Better Today, you can find all kinds of recipes. There's just no excuse these days, you know. There's no excuse. I'm a lady. If you go on my YouTube channel, I'm the lady of no excuse. I don't believe in excuses. You know, and we can't do this thing. Oh, I can't do it because of this. And listen, when you're dead and gone, believe me, your boss is going to find somebody to replace you and they ain't going to find no excuse. They can just replace you. You won't even be remembered, you know? So come on, let's stop making excuses for ourselves and just do what we got to do to make some changes in our lives so we can have a healthier life and, you know, go on to help others.
Okay, Ms. Marlene. So we know that you have an extensive background in the plant-based lifestyle. And I know a lot of young people, you know, we still going to do whatever we want to do. And we still probably going to have our fast foods and stuff like that and probably wait until it's too late to start this lifestyle. But for those interested, I know there's a lot of benefits that you know, that come along with eating plant-based foods. I know for one, if I'm going by what I see my friend's mom looking like, I know, you know, self-care is a big thing. The skin is glowing. The body is tight and right. So give these people some, you know, some benefits that they can look forward to if they start now. Because I know a lot of girls, you know, when you look on social media, they see all the beautiful plump IG models and stuff like that. And I know sometimes we may think if we don't eat a lot of meat or, you know, get surgeries, we could never get that type of body. And I know that isn't the main purpose of eating plant-based foods, but I know it's possible, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. You ready for me to answer? I love your question.
Answer.
Yeah. I like you. I like your question. You know, like I said, when I first started the vegetarian diet, I was told that I would lose weight quickly. So that's like number one. You don't even have to try hard if you're on the vegetarian diet to lose the weight. Just giving up the meat, your metabolism takes off just racing because your body was so toxic with all the animal products that when you give up the animal products and the meats and what have yous, you actually find your metabolism just really appreciating it. And by metabolism, we mean this. So when you eat animal products, meats in particular, it can take up to 72 hours before it digests, eh? But when you start incorporating things like plants and fruits and what have you in your diet, it takes a very short time. And so elimination doesn't become a problem anymore. You are going to the bathroom like clockwork, okay? So you're getting rid of waste very easily. So for me, that's number one for most of the young people. How do we get, especially girls? You mean to tell me I'm going to look better? Yes, your body is going to take beautiful shape. Now, I'll say this. A lot of vegetarians, we tend to like carbohydrates and we tend to like sweets. So when I first became a vegetarian, I'm going to give you a list. I have the list in front of me. But when I became a vegetarian and I walked into one of our local health food stores here, I had given up sugar. I had given it all up. I was like, well, I'm not going to eat sugar. And I think that's why the weight melted so quickly, because I gave up the sugar and the animal products. But I walked into the store and they had all these cookies and I'm like, whoa, I can eat that. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, how come? And they're like, no, this is healthy. And I went right back into that sugar. That was years ago. Now today I know that I can't have it. Okay. My body don't appreciate it. But you lose weight. Number one, you will lose the weight. That's just one of the, we call it the side effects, a good side effect of being a vegetarian. But ultimately, you actually live longer. We live longer. People who are on the vegetarian diet live longer than those who are on an animal-based diet. I think it's 13 years longer. That's a lot of time, okay? And you're not 13 years in pain and suffering. Your 13 years are really a better quality of life, okay? So yes, so then we have less cancer. Many persons who are suffering from cancer, when they become vegetarians, their cancer most times goes into remission, or I like to say it just goes away. My aunt that I spoke of earlier in the show, whose testimony really riveted, I was drawn to her testimony and to what she was doing with her life. She was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer, and she was told she had 8 months to live. She lived 8 years. She was just healthier. She was glowing. I do not know why the Lord chose to take her 8 years later and not allow her to even be here now. That's his decision to make, you know, but she lived longer, even though the doctors gave her a very grim report. All right. Her cancer was very aggressive, but she lived 8 years long, 8 years longer than they thought she would live. Then other benefits would be it helps prevent and reverse type 2 diabetes, adult onset diabetes. That's what I had. I was borderline diabetic. When you become a vegetarian, it is proven that if you eat more plant-based foods and less of the, you know, no animal products, because most times people think that being a diabetic simply means you're eating a lot of carbohydrates. It simply means you're eating a lot of fat, okay? I won't get into the science behind that today, but a lot of it is too much fat in the diet. And remember now, plants don't have no fat, do they? They have, but it's a natural fat. It comes with it. You can't separate it. Like, for instance, an avocado. I don't want to separate the fat from the avocado. It's healthy fat. That's fat that's good for me. So if you can just get on the plant-based diet, you can walk away from diabetes today. You can literally see your numbers decreasing. I actually have a new customer that just walked into my store 2 days ago. His numbers are like 311 fasting blood sugars. And so I'm going to have a sit down with him, being a Bahamian certified diabetic educator. I'm going to have a sit down with him and his wife as I finish the show today. And I'm going to teach him how to eat to get those numbers to normal. You know, then you lower your blood pressure. Blood pressure problems, it's almost non-existent with persons on the vegetarian diet. If it still persists, I often tell people, incorporate some of the live juices into your diet. Get some celery juice and carrot juice. You know, often people are like, celery? Celery has a lot of sodium. But the sodium found in the celery literally helps to lower your blood pressure. You know, so yes, even the blood pressure problems are almost non-existent with persons who are on a very good plant-based diet. Decrease asthma symptoms. You don't have as much asthma as you had before. Better, it promotes bone health. You know, you have stronger bones. What else is there? I'm thinking of the fact that you have a very clear mind. Your memory improves. And we really need that, don't we? Especially our young people. How could I tell my young people that they can have better memory? And you go to school and you find that persons who, especially like, they've done studies on this. Children who are on the vegetarian diet, their memories are better. They perform better in school than children who don't. And I can't explain that except to say that it's just, you know, less, the frontal lobe is clearer. It's, you know, more apt to embrace whatever it is the teacher is teaching at that time. Then you have less risk of heart disease because we don't have that fat in our diet. The animal fat really, really, I'm telling you, it really clogs the arteries, leads to atherosclerosis, and the saturated fats are so bad for us, okay? And a vegetarian diet helps to lower the levels of saturated fat. Lowers cholesterol. I'm surprised when I hear vegetarians saying they have a cholesterol issue. And I'm thinking, why? You're not supposed to have cholesterol. Do you know that cholesterol only comes from animal products? I actually shared this with one of our pastors down in the island. She said, my cholesterol is a little high and I don't eat much meat. I said, do you eat fish? And she said, yes. I said, well, you're still eating meat. I said, and fish has cholesterol. She said, I never knew that. Yes, it does. Fish, shellfish is extremely high in cholesterol. Okay. And young people like yourselves, you can have high cholesterol issues. You can have high cholesterol issues. So you're not too young to have cholesterol issues. All right. Our cholesterol levels should be 100 plus our age. Okay. Some people come into my little nook and they say, Ms. McGinney, my cholesterol is 300. You're a walking time bomb. You're waiting to have a heart attack. Okay. So how do you get it down? Get on the plant-based diet. Incorporate things like flax meal and chia seeds into your diet. And it's like a broom. It sweeps out all of that gunk out of the arteries. Okay. It manages your weight. I said that already keeps your brain sharp, cancer. Yeah. So I would say I want to be like your friend's mom and grow my own. That's the number one, right? We want to grow our own foods, vegetables, like my mom did. That would be the number one way for vegetarians, you know. I would also suggest that you eat more, you know, you can go to farmers markets. You know, we have farmers markets here in Nassau, lots of them. And often these farmers markets are so affordable that you can get, like going to the regular grocery store, we know it's very expensive. It's costly. It's very costly. And, you know, I have a shop, so I know. I am in the stores spending most of what I make every weekend. I spend most of what I make at Mr. Roberts. I give him all of the money I make, you know, because it's costly. However, I'll say two things. Hold on. And I'm going to end with that. So one, you grow your food. Two, check with the farmers markets. Okay. Look for places like BAIC who has affordable fruits and vegetables that are coming in from the family islands. Then three, let me think of the cost of a pack of beans. You know, I take a pack of beans. I don't know if Anise has ever had my bean burger. I take one pack of garbanzo beans, which is probably $2.50 on average. And I get 3 tins and a half of garbanzos when I put that in my crock pot or I boil that. You understand? So you have to now look for ways to buy also bulk. I shop bulk. All right. If you have a place to store it or do a co-op where several persons come together and say, okay, we're going to go to the wholesalers and we're going to buy a case of grapes, a case of apples, a case of asparagus or whatever, and let's share the cost. There are four of us on this platform today. We could share the cost. I love grapes. Oh my goodness, let me tell you something. You want to really get on my best side? Buy me some grapes, especially if they're sweet, right? So why can't we get together as a people and me and you and whomever, your sister, your mom, whoever, let's buy a case of grapes. These are ways that we can save, okay? I'm telling you, because if I go into the local store, I pick up one bag of grapes, it's $15. But guess what? The same bag of grapes came out of a case of grapes, which is only $45. And we get 10 bags like that for $45. You understand what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? So if you can, yes, so we could buy bulk. You know, I learned to buy bulk when we lived in New York. I lived in New York for 7 years. And going to New York was quite a transition because it was, the cost of living was very, very high, okay? And so at that time, my children's father, he was the only one working. And I was at home, homeschooling the children and trying to live a healthy life and, you know, do things differently. And I said, wow, we're going to have to find ways to survive because this is going to be difficult on one salary. And I learned to buy bulk. I learned to buy bulk. Things that I could store, I stored them. My whole wheat flour, I buy in 50 pounds or 25 pound bags. I had an extra refrigerator. I stored it. Because guess what? I was using a lot of it. Anything I used a lot of that I could store and keep for a long time, I did. My bag of beans, you can actually go to wholesalers and get a 20-pound bag of lentils for $20. Going to the food store, you get a 16 ounce for $2.50. You see what I'm saying? So you buy bulk. That's another way of doing it. But those same beans that I'm talking about, you know, you get three times as much from the one tin of beans costs $2.00 versus one bag of beans, which I'm going to get three tins out of, would have saved me how much money? I don't know if you're doing the math, I hope that the persons listening are doing the math also, you know, so that it's affordable. And then my final answer on that one would be, what's cheaper, the hospital bill or my shopping bill? My grocery bill will be far cheaper. I don't want to end up in Doctor's Hospital or Princess Margaret or any of those. The inconvenience alone for my family and whomever else is totally, especially in this COVID season, you can't even go to visit your loved ones. You know, that alone should really drive us to do better for ourselves. That alone should really help us to say, boy, you know something? I end up in that hospital because my family can't even come and see me. They don't even know if I'm doing okay. You know, so I don't know if that helps to... Hope it helps someone today who's listening to really embrace this challenge of trying the vegetarian diet. It's not expensive. I don't see it as costly. I just see it as a better alternative. I see it as the better way to go. It's affordable. I could take one bag of beans for $2.50 if I had to buy it in the food store, and I could make you maybe 40 burgers from that one bag of beans. No joke. Okay. That one bag of beans can make you about 40 burgers with the use of maybe a few nuts and some oatmeal. All right?
So, Miss Marlene, all I could say right now is Bohemians, all we could do is put that in our pipes and smoke it because we have no more excuses. She done this. You done this off so many avenues we could take just to stay healthy and stay alive, because even in the country, I do believe we are in the top five in obesity.
Yes,
in the world. Yes. And our country is too small to be up there. I mean, I don't mind us being the richest country, the you know, everything, but obesity.
I love it. I like it.
Come on now, come on. But Miss Marlene, my plant guru, I have this last question for you. You know, based on your expertise advice, I have to ask you this question. Do you believe in this gluten-free idea, this concept that has now taken a storm in healthy living? Or do you believe they put gluten-free on these packages just to make us pay more? Because I know growing up, I never had nothing but no gluten-free, and now gluten-free everywhere. And things for gluten-free got a lot of dollar bills on it now. So let me hear what you guys say.
Well, gluten-free, there is a reason. There is definitely a medical reason for gluten-free. Yes. And it's not, I love your passion. Anise, I like her. I'm going to take her with me on my next program. You know, the thing about the gluten-free diet is it is essential for many persons. It is very essential for persons like who have celiac disease or irritable bowel syndrome, or yes, there is really sound medical proof for persons who may be on that gluten-free diet for the medical reasons. There are many of us otherwise, however, right, who have no reason and we want to be on the gluten-free because we figure we can lose weight or we can look better or whatever. And gluten-free is costly. It's costly. It's very expensive, right? I won't lie to you. It's far more expensive to buy a pound of gluten-free flour versus whole wheat flour. But do you know something? It has been said at one of the institutions I studied under that if you're not sick and you don't have any gluten intolerances, you really shouldn't be on the gluten-free diet. We shouldn't. Just eat normal. Okay. So yes, I agree with you, young lady, that we really don't need to have this gluten-free diet for persons who don't have any health ailments, health problems. But if you're having some issues, you know, then you should definitely look into the gluten-free diet, you know, because gluten can really damage, it can cause so much damage to persons who are having issues, the small intestines, and you know, it can really do a number. Persons with autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis, and there's another one there that I'm trying to remember. Yes, they should come off the gluten. Yes, I agree 100%. Even in some cases, persons with cancer, I would suggest that they probably cut back on the gluten. They may find that they'll do better. And if you have a lot of allergies, then yeah, maybe you should try a gluten-free diet. Otherwise, it's okay. It's okay. It's not, you know, There's very little evidence that a gluten-free diet offers any, you know, help to persons who are trying to be, oh, well, I just want to go gluten-free. But yeah, you know, I'm not of the school that we should all be on a gluten-free diet. All right. Gluten, you know what is gluten, right? You know what gluten is? Gluten is the protein found in a grain. Okay. So there are some grains that have, like, for instance, if you go and buy bread flour at the food store, the bread flour is going to have more gluten than the cake flour. How do you know? Well, if you bought a bag of flour at the food store and it says bread flour, and you went home and you made cake from it, it would be a little heavier than the cake flour that you'd want to, the all-purpose flour, all right? So gluten is simply the protein found in the grain. That's what it is. So persons are trying to get rid of that aspect of the grain. They want less of that protein.
Well, thank you for all the information. Hopefully everyone enjoyed our new, very exciting topic today. We looked into the vegan vegetarian lifestyle, the cost, different ways to transition into it, its health benefits, and so much more. Thank you to our guest, Marlene McKinney of Something Better Vegetarian Deli. And you can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube at Something Better Vegetarian Deli. Follow us on our socials at Candid242 and our website, candid242.wordpress.com. Thanks for listening and keep it real, Bahamas.